So I found it so challenging to be grassroots. It's really difficult, and especially when the individuals that you want to help are so busy. They're working 9 to 5 or even 12-hour shifts. They're running home to care for their families. They might be taking care of their kids. They might be taking care of their parents and other loved ones. And trying to get people to slow down when they're so busy is very challenging and very difficult. And so I'm meeting my customers where they are and my community where they are, which is one of the reasons that we have pivoted.
You're listening to the Communitas of New York podcast, where we invite you, our business-focused listener, to join us in our strategic focus on business development, specifically with guests who are alumni of the Communitas Ventures Accelerator Program. In our third season, we hold conversations about engagement and community-driven entrepreneurship. Creating positive and hyper-local impact means fostering deep understanding with stakeholders. We invite you to hear entrepreneurs discuss their own experiences with meeting and collaborating with their fellow community members where they are at, developing and serving with carefully designed and innovative solutions. I'm your host, Monique T. Marshall. This is episode 19 with Neville Green of House of Ananda. Well, Neville, welcome to the Communitas of New York podcast. So thrilled to have you on the show. So welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get into all the updates, amazing updates that you have, but also the amazing work that you are doing at House of Ananda. And so let's start with first introducing yourself to the audience. Would you mind telling us a little bit about your venture and how you started in 2020 and House of Ananda? And yeah, it's also a big deal because it's been 5 years. So
yes,
let's start there.
5 years.
Yes.
It's crazy to believe that we are 5 years and we turned 5 in October of 2025. And so we are relaunching House of Ananda in 2026. And it's an amazing journey that I've been on. We started really because of the pandemic. I remember being in YTT, which is yoga teacher training, and then the pandemic happened and everyone around me was spiraling because there was so much uncertainty at the time. And I had these tools that I learned, not intentionally, from my yoga teacher training about how to manage my stress, how to manage the uncertainty, how to find ground. So I started to hold space for individuals online. And that became the genesis of House of Ananda, because we wanted to create a wellness community where marginalized folk, LGBTQ, BIPOC individuals could come and find safety and find love and joy within themselves. And so like our first slogan back then was come home to your true self. Wow. Because that it was all about finding safety within. Then I realized that after doing Communitas in 2023, I realized how much stress was connected to chronic illnesses. Reflecting on the mass deaths that occurred during the pandemic, a lot of the BIPOC who passed away had what is known as comorbidities. So that is one or more chronic illness. We're talking diabetes, hypertension, other cardiometabolic diseases. And I was so concerned as to why no one was talking about how stress is related to all of these things. And so we made our first pivot and began to focus on stress management more specifically and how we could utilize our trauma-informed holistic approach to managing stress so that we could then help to avoid or help to even reverse chronic illness. And so then our slogan became stress less and live more, because I really wanted this community to know that stress is something that we could address, but also their quality of life is something that they could also improve. And now here we are, 2026, once again, pivoting and narrowing down our focus. And right now we're focused on helping high achieving professionals, leaders, caregivers, and at-risk youth perform under pressure without burning out. I feel like everyone today is burnt out. And so right now our focus is teaching people how to navigate life, how to navigate work, how to navigate taking care of your families without burning out. And so that's where we are today.
That is such a phenomenal story and such a phenomenal journey. And one of the things, Neville, I love is that what you've done with House of Ananda is to build a chosen community of care for, as you spoke about, Black, Indigenous, people of color, and queer folks, where a trauma-informed holistic approach to stress management equips all to a stress-free life. And I love that also the fact that now as you pivot and are currently going through your rebrand and relaunch, I love that you talk about this idea of what it means to recognize trauma in these communities. Can you talk about a little bit more about that and what it means for those who make up this chosen community?
Absolutely. I think to exist in America, more specifically in New York, and to be a person of color, to be BIPOC, to be queer, is to experience trauma, microaggressions, systemic and institutional, not just racism, but targeted effects on a daily basis. And we've become so numb to it that we experience these attacks or these experiences of stress, but we sort of ignore it. And our bodies are not meant to be in a constant state of stress. Stress is a given part of our lived experiences as human beings. And, you know, what somatic practices teach us is that you're expected to experience stress and then you release it. And then you create this resilience and this sort of a barrier, a buffer, a capacity for stress. What happens when someone is experiencing stress because they're running to the train, you know, to try to get to their job, and then they're experiencing a crowded train and they're packed? You know, maybe someone says something offensive to them and they have to go on to work, and then they get to work, and then, you know, they experience microaggressions at work and feeling othered and isolated and all these other things. What you realize is that as individuals, we're constantly, especially in New York, under stress. And what I aim to do is to just teach people how to navigate these spaces. I can't remove the stress from anyone's life, but I can teach you how different tools and techniques, how to make sure that you're breathing, make sure that you're grounded, make sure that you sort of build that buffer, that capacity to then be able to handle the stress better and healthier.
Yeah, I think that is so true. Definitely being in New York, it's like being in these spaces, sometimes it's like you feel like you're having a mini panic attack. So being able to have those tools to allow you to treat and navigate these spaces are very important. And now, can you explain what somatic practice means?
Absolutely. So somatic practices find its origin in the vagal nervous system. And to make it super simple, super plain, it's about how we connect our bodies, our minds, in terms of the releasing of stress. So, you know, it includes the parasympathetic nervous system, which you may have heard of, which is really that relaxed initiation where the nervous system starts to relax. And that's what my yoga teaching is all about. It's about helping people to tap into your body, listen to your body's clues, and learn how to release tension, stress from your body.
Mm-hmm. Now, Neville, when you speak about learning how to navigate these spaces and also your personal experience, how you got into this field, how do you get people on board? Because oftentimes we know that there is a situation where we might be experiencing like panic attacks or just like stress. Like you said, we don't do anything about it oftentimes. So how do you get people in the mind space to change the patterns and the habits in order to do something about it?
That's a really good question. And this was one of my earliest challenges when I started House of Ananda, because I realized that people don't realize that they're under stress. People are not aware that they're experiencing microaggressions or that they're experiencing anxiety and panic attacks in their daily lives, and it's happening all the time. And so a big part of making people aware and getting people on board is just education. In the most mundane of examples, it's just talking about my own personal experiences of my own anxieties, my own stresses, my own lived experience as someone who is chronically stressed, who has lived through very high stressful jobs, being a chemical engineer, traveling the country constantly, also being a caregiver for my aging and ailing father, and then also supporting youth. Everything that House of Ananda is built on is based on my lived experiences. And really just breaking down those barriers and talking about it. I feel talking and sharing my experiences and inviting others to talk and share theirs really helps to break down those barriers of feeling isolated as though I'm the only person that's going through this, or feeling as though, like, especially for women, I have to bear this alone because I have to take care of myself. I have to take care of my family. If you are a caregiver, male or female, or however you identify, you know, just breaking down those spaces to show you that you are not alone, and just creating that community, I think, really helps people to open up to the fact that, you know, when my chest was feeling tight the other day, that wasn't normal. When I was sweating and my heart rate was up and I'm supposed to be in a rested state, that's not normal, or it's not healthy. And so bringing awareness is what it's really all about.
Yeah, that can certainly bring that guard down. For sure, the relatability. And also, speaking of experience and personal experience, so you also have experience with the teachings of Ayurveda. And I'm curious how this informed your practice when you started House of Ananda in 2020. And also this integration of this traditional Hindu system of medicine has developed over time as a part of your practice with House of Ananda.
And just to educate those who may not be aware, Ayurveda is the sister science of yoga, and it teaches you how to live in harmony with nature. And it really is the foundation for unique practicing in the sense that it's not a one-size-fits-all. I find that oftentimes our world prescribes a one-size-fits-all. And what Ayurveda says is that you're cosmically unique, and your lived needs require that you do what your body and mind needs for you to be in harmony with nature. And so I'll use water, drinking, for instance. We all know that we should drink water. Mm-hmm. But how much water each of us should drink is highly unique to each person's body and constitution. And so someone may need to 10 glasses of water, whereas others may just need to drink 6. And knowing and educating individuals about their Ayurvedic constitution, and that just means, you know, your Ayurvedic makeup, can really teach people how to live in harmony. And that goes from everything from how much water to drink to what type of clothes to wear. And what I love about Ayurveda is that it changes from season to season. And so many of us right now are in winter time, and so we're moving a little bit sluggish. We may feel a little bit more lethargic, a little bit more tired, and our society says we got to push through. And what you notice is that your body needs more sleep in these winter months from January through March, or say. But then in summertime, when there's much more sun, you're out later, you're more active, you feel more energetic. And so that's the time to really produce. And so Ayurveda really teaches us how to live in harmony with nature. And it's a really crucial part of stress management, because to live against nature and to live out of rhythm will inevitably cause stress on your body, your mind, and even your spirit.
I love how you broke that down. Such a teachable, educational moment there. And you also mentioned earlier comorbidities when speaking about COVID death. So what health disparities, stressors, and also gaps in resources do you hear about or observe when engaging with the community that you've built through your work with House of Ananda? And also, with that, do you develop individual plans to hand to these disparities and stressors with the folks whom you work with, also considering this cosmic uniqueness of each individual?
Absolutely. So some of the things that I see, number one, are hypertension or high blood pressure, I should say, as well as just inability to sleep. There are so many others that I could list off, but I'll just focus on those two. And more specifically, on the inability to sleep is something that I even personally have been working on for the last 2 or 3 years in a very concerted effort, because everything comes down to our ability to rest. Our ability to rest is how our bodies heal from one day to the next. It's how our bodies get rid of waste. It's how we get over a cold during, you know, cold and flu season. And so coming out of a grind culture, you know, where it's just like, oh, we'll sleep and you're dead. If you don't sleep, you will be dead very soon.
Right. Very soon.
And so it even affects your quality of life. And so that's one of the major things that I see. And I must say, we are a wellness collective. I am not a physician. I have my master's in public health. I'm a researcher, a scientist, an engineer. And so what I do is I take the latest research and public health knowledge and make that accessible to the regular everyday individual and teach them how to use that information. But also what I would do is, you know, make sure and encourage folk that I work with to make sure that you're seeing your physicians, make sure that you're asking questions. And even if you don't know what questions to ask, that's something that I might even help direct one-on-one client to make sure that you are an informed patient and that you feel comfortable, but also knowledgeable on how to represent yourself in healthcare space.
Yeah. And you did start in 2020 with COVID. And, you know, speaking of this being an issue with the deaths and all the things and just stressors in general. So from 2020 to now, we're in 2026. Have you seen a difference in whether it be your community or just in general, people taking rest more seriously or improvement?
I would say yes and no. I think that there's a desire for individuals to rest. People want to rest more than they did in 2020. I think right now we value life based on, you know, our collective experience through COVID pandemic. However, life is demanding a lot of people. And this is what is really urging me to focus on burnout, because as we all know, the cost of living since 2019 astronomically increase. Every time you go to the grocery store, you spend the same amount of money but bring home less groceries. You go to the gas station or even ride MTA and transportation costs are constantly rising. Individual paychecks are staying close to the same or have not increased, yet all of our expenses are increasing. I tried to go to Costco before this call and couldn't get in because the line was onto the highway. All this to say, there's all these things that are making it very difficult for individuals to rest. Mm-hmm. And so even though the desire is there, I feel as though people don't know how to. They haven't been taught how to. We were taught how to work. We were taught how to go get an education and start a job and keep working for that job. But we weren't taught how to maximize our PTO, personal time off. We weren't taught how to stand up for ourselves and take a sick day. I've heard so many nurses who will say, I have a large number, like 100 sick days. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing with 100 sick days? You need to take them. you need to take a mental day. You need to take a day to rest. And I think another thing that's so difficult and challenging is oftentimes when we take days off, we end up filling them with tasks. You take the day off and then you end up running around trying to pay your bills or running around trying to do this. And so people are seldomly actually getting the opportunity to rest. And sometimes people need permission. Mm-hmm. So I find oftentimes what I do is just give people permission to rest. Like, it's okay to take a break.
Yeah, that is so true. Sometimes people do need permission. I think that I oftentimes also hear about people saying they have so many vacation days and it's like, oh, wow. And I love that, one, that you are the solution. So at House of Ananda, can you talk about the locales in which you all operate? Do you have a place to which people come or do you travel?
So we are primarily virtual and online so that we can reach people wherever they are. I do travel to corporations, to conferences. I work primarily with associations, professional associations, as well as I encourage all of my listeners and all of my clients to invite me into your workspaces. That's part of our systemic work, working with your HR providers. I'll tell you all the secret. Corporations really want their employees to be well, and they spend a lot of money on healthcare costs. And so an employee who is less stressed, who is healthy, costs your employer less money. And so they want to invite people like House of Ananda and companies like House of Ananda in to prevent burnout amongst their employees, to prevent recidivism in which people are physically at work but not working because mentally they're not there. Mentally they're burned out. Mentally they're overwhelmed. And so what we're doing and what we're pivoting to do is make sure that we work with employers so that we can provide, number one, our solutions at scale to more people, but also so that we can start to make some systemic changes because oftentimes work stress is one of the biggest stressors for individuals.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I like that you mentioned the pivot because I know in the past you've worked with neurodivergent children and also pivoting to working with corporations. Can you talk about your experience and also how informed how you work with adults?
Absolutely. So primarily over the last couple of years, I've been working with neurodivergent children, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and they were my only client because it was very difficult working 9-to-5, trying to keep House of Ananda alive. And I was also pursuing my master's in public health at the time. And so one of the things that I learned as an entrepreneur is that sometimes it's good to go back to your MVP, your minimum viable product, where you might just have one product and one client while you work on gaining other skill sets or other resources to then be able to relaunch and rebrand and come back in full force. So that's what I did. And having neurodivergent children as my primary clients has taught me so much about being present. I know that they model everything that I do when teaching yoga. And so it really taught me to be present for adults too. And so when I teach adults, and just a couple of weeks ago, I taught an adult class in the same space where I usually teach my kids. And it was so funny because I got to one yoga pose, and for the kids, we call it like a big star. It's something I made up where we were in a squat and then we jump into like a big star. And believe it or not, the adults wanted to do it. It just out of force of habit, I told them, this is what I usually do with my kids. And they're like, yeah, we want to do that too. And so one of the things that teaching such a wide generational gap has taught me is that adults are still big kids. Mm. At the end of the day, we all have a little child inside us that wants to play, that wants to have fun. And oftentimes we neglect that child or that voice or that desire because we have responsibilities to handle as an adult. And having a safe space to just be a kid for a second, or to just have a moment where you do something that is childlike, I don't want to say childish, but childlike, mm-hmm. brings out that inner joy. And so I love that I teach such a wide range of individuals.
That is beautiful. I love that. I love when we get to show our inner child, and it's just like, that's so freeing. So
We need more of that.
We need more of that. We also need to see more of that online as well. One of the things I also like that you mentioned is going back to your MVP and just the experience of how it was sometimes challenging for you to balance all the things. So You have worked in nonprofit executive leadership, and you're also a fellow in the National Society of Black Entrepreneurs. And on top of that, you have a Master's of Public Health degree. So you have many experiences that must inform your work. So can you speak a little bit about your path, and if there was a defining moment in terms of your decision to found House of Ananda?
Yeah, absolutely. As you so eloquently sort of summarized, I have a very diverse background. And I would say my entire lived experience has led me to House of Ananda and the work that we do. I remember taking my very first yoga class. I was introduced to yoga at the City College of New York here in Harlem. And I was an engineering student. And I was so stressed. I was taking higher level mathematics and physics classes and engineering courses. And it was very cutthroat and very intense. And I just happened to see a sign for yoga in the gym. And I said, you know what? I'm going to go and do it one of these days. And I did. And to see the diversity of bodies moving in the room was very comforting. But then also what I noticed is that as I was struggling through yoga poses, mm-hmm. by the end of the class, I was so relaxed. My mind had just drifted away from whatever exam or homework I was struggling with, and I was at peace. And so I kept chasing that. I kept coming back to yoga as a place where I could find peace and groundedness. And that has led me to everything else that I'm doing today, and why holistic modalities is such a huge part of what I bring to stress management and what I bring to House of Ananda.
That's beautiful. And what inspired the name House of Ananda?
The name is extremely intentional. House is spelled H-A-U-S. And in the LGBTQ plus community, that is known as like your chosen family. And even like in ballroom culture, you might hear of the house of Lanvin or the house of Gucci or whomever. It really is your chosen family. And Ananda in Sanskrit, it means bliss, or the highest level of bliss or joy. And so House of Ananda is your chosen family of bliss or joy. And we want to emulate that in everything that we do. We always want to be a chosen community. We want to serve individuals who choose us, who resonate with our frequency, who want to heal, who want to uplift others, and who want to experience joy at the highest levels. So that's what our name means, and that's what we represent.
Wow, that is deep. And that is such a great story. I love that. And a great reason behind. You know, one of the things with your journey that I'm hearing is, of course, you are very intentional. And you also talked about earlier how I mentioned like the MVP and having to go back. And it seems like in addition to a desire and to create community and your knowledge, you're also, of course, running a business. So it seems like you had some knowledge of business beforehand. Did you? Or did you just have to hit the ground running?
So I did. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. And actually in high school, I went to high school in Lincoln High School in Yonkers. Shout out to Lincoln High School. And one of my teachers, Miss Lauren Trigger, she was the head of the Academy of Finance. And one of the things that she taught us, that was like our magnets back in the day in New York. Everyone meant to have a magnet or a focus area in your high school. Mm-hmm. And she said to us, you can go into the world and become whatever you want to become. But it's really important that you understand finances and that you understand business, because she prophesied our class. She's like, you guys will make more money than your parents. It's important that you know how to manage your money. And so we had an entrepreneurial program, the Young School, I think, I forget the name now, the Young Entrepreneurs, something I forget. And so I participated in that, and I learned back then in high school about business plans, and I had created a whole thing and competed in a pitch competition in high school. And so I took those learnings all the way from high school and continue to build on them throughout my life. And so I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. And those early learnings have been one of the reasons that I've been able to really stand up my business and really focus on the trajectory and the strategy. But also, I've took that entrepreneurial spirit into every job that I've ever had. And so I would ask questions when I was working in the chemical industry about how are we managing our budget? You know, how does this flow? How are we able to purchase these raw materials and then convert it to a finished product? And so I would always see business in everything that I did.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I could tell. I could just tell. That is good. And shout out to the teachers always planting the seed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so I want to talk about growing and pivoting, because I know this journey has not been easy, or it has not been linear. So you are also in a season where you're planning a pivot in terms of your model. Mm-hmm. And I would love it if you could discuss the relaunch as the Burnout Guy.
Absolutely. Again, I think that one of the things that is so consistent every time I look into our world is that individuals are burnt out. They're taking to social media as a means to escape the hardships of life, whether it is the current news cycle, whether it is financial stressors, relationship stressors, and people are showing up at work and almost in a zombie-like fashion. They can't even really produce, and that's because they're burnt out. And I have to be honest, I have been burnt out many a times in the last 3 or 5 years, really, since COVID, experiencing burnout at levels that I have never known. And so I had to really come to grips and acknowledge what I was feeling, my own feelings of overwhelm, my own feelings of fatigue, of stress, of depletion. And so as I was thinking about where House of Ananda is going to go from stress less and live more, you know, focusing on burnout was the next logical step for us. Mm-hmm. And so again, taking all the tools that I have used as someone who has personally experienced burnout, but still has managed to work full-time, put myself through my master's in public health. I also pivoted from the chemical industry into healthcare. And now I work full-time in the healthcare industry. And that was a major pivot, which I did in 2024. And so everything has sort of led to this sort of intersection point where I am taking what I'm doing at my current employer, which is helping reverse chronic illness, and then also addressing what I think is extremely important, which is stress and how stress plays into chronic illnesses. So yeah, that's my pivot story.
That is great. And also with that, you know, sometimes as entrepreneurs, I think that especially when you could be married to an idea and you want to recognize that, okay, like you said, there is something that needs to change. But sometimes entrepreneurs have a hard time with acknowledging it, one, and then also doing it and changing and pivoting. So for you as a leader and business owners, what was that process like, and how did you come to terms and also get the oomph and the courage to make that change?
Man, Monique, that's a really good question. It's funny enough, I met with Sun Moon, Executive Director of Communitas, last year before the holidays.
Sun Moon Jung is the Executive Director of Communitas America.
And we were just catching up a bit. And she said, you know, you're doing everything that you wrote in your business plan when you were a part of Communitas Ventures. And I paused for a second and reflected. Mm-hmm. And she was absolutely correct. I had a vision for what House of Ananda could be back in 2022, 2023, but I didn't have the skill set. I didn't have the resources. I didn't have the know-how to create it. And it was a slow, deliberate process. I literally went back to school because of House of Ananda. I swear I was not going to go back to school because I had such a rough experience as an undergrad in getting my engineering degree. But I knew that there were systems at play, and I needed to understand, why is it that we're not addressing stress? And so going back to school was integral in getting that. And I mentioned this slightly before. I had to, at the time, I was teaching classes at Hayground and trying to, you know, really address stress through yoga. But I realized that it wasn't enough. I wasn't meeting people at scale. It was very difficult to get people into the doors. And how do I differentiate myself from all these other yoga studios who are teaching yoga? But what I'm trying to do is address stress. And so it was a long haul. I've had to put this dream on pause while I developed the skills to then be able to rebrand and relaunch House of Ananda in in the way that I am now. And I have to say, gaining all of the wisdom that I did through my Master's of Public Health and then still working and keeping House of Ananda alive and working with our neurodivergent community and all these things, I never stopped gaining the tools and the skill set to then be able to bring it back the way I needed to. And now I have the language, now I have the experience, now I have, you know, more resources and connections to then be able to really bring to life what I had envisioned so many years ago.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is so powerful. And I feel like you just gave somebody like a breakthrough, one, the courage and also the strength to take a pause and know that it's okay. It's nothing wrong with doing those things, but also it shows how serious you are about what you do. So kudos to you.
You are not a failure because you need to peer down to then come back. And, you know, it's very interesting because that's what happens in nature. Every fall, the leaves are removed from the tree and, you know, the trees sort of look as though they're dead, but they're peering down, they're conserving energy, they're focusing on what they need to do to survive the winter and so they can come back in spring and blossom again. And I think every entrepreneur will experience a fall season where you might just need to pull back a bit. You can't constantly be in bloom. Life is cyclical. And so regardless of what season that you're in or what season you might be approaching, allow yourself to be present in that season and know that the sun will rise again, spring will come again, you will bloom, and the summer will come too, and you will shine and be in full bloom in your best season.
Neville, I need to take a moment of pause for that. You will not you just said that so beautifully and it tied it all together. You can't constantly be in bloom. I think that message was also for me. I think, yeah, you're teaching to me today.
Absolutely. Happy to.
Yeah. And so will the nature of instruction and community change with this new model?
The change is because we started in COVID, we were always virtual first. And so we're teaching yoga classes online because it wasn't safe to be in person. And then we got back in person. And so our model is very much the same. We're adapting to meet our audience where they are. And then we're pivoting to offer more. What we are developing currently is like self-guided courses and webinars and in-person trainings where I, you know, myself and my team, we can come to host things in person or at your job or, you know, professional associations. And so the model is kind of the same, but evolving to meet the needs of our audience.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I kind of mentioned earlier, but I also like in this discussion is that I find you to be very intentional and strategic as well. So I want to talk about the kind of strategic planning that you had in place or had to engage in order to consider your pivot.
So I am an operations manager in my other job, in my other life. And so I'm constantly planning. One of the things that my friends love about me is that they love to go on vacation with me because they just show up and I know everything. I have it all planned out, what time we're going to arrive, what time the shuttle's going to get us, where we're going here. But I have to say, a lot of this planning is happening as I'm building House of Ananda. And I'll say maybe in the first 4 or 5 years of House of Ananda, I was very strategic about this is what I want, this is how we're going to do it, this is where we're going to go. Now today, I have a vision, I have a mission, I have core values that are guiding us, and we are creating our MVP and we are building it out as we go. Because one of the things that I'm learning as an entrepreneur is that you think that you have the perfect product, but your audience or your clients or your, you know, customers, that's the word I'm looking for, your customers will tell you what they need. And so as much planning as I would love to do, I'm having to go with the flow. And I think that's important as an entrepreneur to be able to have something that's solid enough that you can then take to the market and then iterate it and adjust it and make it and then grow on it. Once you have something that your customers want and are longing for, they'll tell you how to adjust it. They'll tell you, you know what, we liked your podcast, but now we want to see it in video. Mm-hmm. Oh, we liked your video, but now we wanted a webinar. We liked your webinar, but now we want you to come in person. And so I'm taking my time and moving with alignment and allowing House of Ananda and what we do to blossom. I have, of course, listed our things that we see for our future, but I got to be honest. And right now they're not in this moment of taping this podcast. Everything isn't there. But if a customer comes and says, we want, you know, a live session, okay, you better believe I'll get a live session together.
You better believe it. Yeah. And I think that comes with time and knowing, just like in entrepreneurship. I feel like when you first build a business and it's your first one, you are feeling like you have to build it before you launch it. I mean, before people see it. Mm-hmm. And so as you go on, you're like, yeah, I need my community customers to be involved.
Absolutely.
Before I build anything. But the beautiful thing about it is you have the foundation and you have your vision and mission and values. And that's important as well. So you also speak about the operations background. And do you find that your engineering background has also anything to do with this? And this planning is engineering.
Absolutely. I think one thing that being an engineer has taught me is how to solve critical problems and complex problems. It's also taught me how to distill those things into language, but also very simple solutions. So being an engineer and having a background in operations and in project management and all these things that I have, you know, all these tools and skills that I've amassed over my career, everything plays into House of Ananda and how we operate to be sustainable business. And sustainable isn't just, you know, financial sustainability or energetic sustainability. I'm talking about, I need to make sure that my burnout prevention business doesn't cause me to burn out.
Right.
And so it's really important that I take the structures that I've learned from engineering and from project management and all these other things and impart them into our marketing strategy and our growth strategy and even how we present ourselves into the world. And so everything is connected and everything has its place. There's no experience that you've had in life that can't add to your business.
That's good. And I want to shift a little bit. So the focus of this season of our podcast is community-driven entrepreneurship. So one of the things you mentioned earlier is going with the flow. And hearing what your customer wants also means being mindful of what is being spoken by the community. So in what ways do you seek out community engagement? And also in what ways does the community seek you out?
Absolutely. So I found it so challenging to be grassroots. It's really difficult. And especially when the individuals that you want to help are so busy. They're working 9 to 5 or even 12-hour shifts. They're running home to care for their families. They may be taking care of their kids. They might be taking care of their parents and other loved ones. And trying to get people to slow down when they're so busy is very challenging and very difficult. And so I'm meeting my customers where they are and my community where they are, which is one of the reasons that we have pivoted to really focus our energy on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is where professionals and high-achieving professionals go, not just to look for jobs, but that's where they go to find community. And so becoming the burnout prevention guy, you know, on LinkedIn has been very critical to tapping into that community of individuals who are working in corporate jobs and stressed out of their minds and looking for assistance. So I'm often giving advice and sharing tools and techniques on how to prevent burnout, how to acknowledge or identify that you're burnt out and all these other things. And so that works for that particular community. But then also it's really important for me to be still close to the ground and still being grassroots. So, you know, being active in Communitas and making sure that I'm connecting with other entrepreneurs and making sure that they're aware of what I can do and finding individuals that I can partner with so that we can spread both our businesses and our impacts further. And so it's so critical for me to go where my community is and then still be tapped into the communities that I have built over the years.
For sure. And I love the fact that you mentioned LinkedIn because I feel like that's one of those platforms that is kind of like the low-key, one of the best platforms to engage with community, but also decision makers. As you mentioned, you are pivoting to corporations. So they're also there as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it also seems like you are experienced in serving a wide range of age groups. So do you notice any generational differences in terms of approach to health and wellness within the communities you serve?
Generational differences. I would say that there's many. Earlier I mentioned, you know, our childlikeness of teaching the kids and the adults. But I would say there's different ways that people think about stress generationally. I think that you have millennials, I'll start there in the middle, who are feeling chronically stressed because, you know, they were taught to be overachievers. They were sort of evangelized a way of life that would happen if you go to school and, you know, you get a good job and you'll mm-hmm. be able to purchase a home and have the kids and all these other things. And they've been in crisis after crisis after crisis. Homes are out of reach for them. And so they're constantly in stress, but they're also doing the work to socialize mental health and acknowledge when they're stressed and take that break and take that vacation and take that time. And the two generations above and below are very different. Younger individuals, Gen Zs, you know, they don't quite have the tolerance of endurance to stress. And so oftentimes they're more likely to leave a job, a position, leave anything that causes them, you know, stress. And then generations above the millennials may feel as though, like, you know, stress is just an endurance thing. You just got to deal with it. You know, it's a rite of passage. You just got to deal with it. And so every generation has their own experience with stress, but we can always find a common space and a common place to address it how they need to.
Yeah.
And again, let me just say that was a huge generalization. I don't feel that any of what I said applies to any specific individual from those generation.
mm-hmm. I mean, it's interesting because you do kind of see some of the discourse online about mm-hmm. like the differences in generations, or just like, I know when you speak about Gen Z, what I think is like, they do not play if they will leave mm-hmm. or like, it's, I'm bouncing.
And there's something to be learned from every yes. generation. I mean, I've gotten so much inspiration from Gen Zs because for I'm sure. just like, you know what? I don't need to take this either.
That is true. You know, you might have people from different generations within your organization. Absolutely. So it's like how to deal, even if everyone is different, you might see some similarities, or when those things come up, you are able to kind of like pinpoint them and say, okay, this is how I can deal with this. So yeah.
And one thing I just want to share, I love to create intergenerational communities.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that can be learned when you interact with different generations.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we may not all do or see things the same way, but what I find is that the gaps that exist in each generation is where the other generation fits in to mm-hmm. need that, to sort of fill that gap. And so I love it. I think we need more of that.
Yeah, for sure. And Neville, what are some eureka moments in your work? So a revelation or something that really made you reflect on the way that you guide your venture, especially when considering that creating a community is an action that involves everybody?
Yeah, I would say that my eureka moment is definitely alignment. I think it's really important to align with who you are as an entrepreneur, align with what your business stands for, and then go out into the world and, number one, connect with customers and clients that frequency and partner with others who do as well. We all can't do it alone. And then one of the things I think that helps me to sustain what I do is that I have a North Star. I know the world and the vision that I'm trying to create into the world, and that drives me from one moment to the next. And that is what will, throughout the years, regardless mm-hmm. of the ups and downs, my ebbs and flows, my highs and my lows, stress and stress management has been a through line in every version of House of Ananda. And that's because, like I said, I have that vision and that mission, and no matter how we pivot and change and niche down to get to, you know, our current version, we know who we are. And yeah. so knowing who you are as an entrepreneur and knowing what your business is meant to do, and it will guide you.
Yeah. And Neville, do you have like any specific examples? Because I know like it's great when people can like see what it looks like.
Man, I remember making the step to step away from teaching yoga classes, and I felt like a complete failure. I would have to stop teaching classes. I hate ground. And I was just starting to build this presence in Harlem. And Harlem is near and dear to my heart. This is where I feel as though I became an adult and I saw disparities of healthcare and health in the population. And so I've always been driven to give back specifically to this community. But I didn't have the tools that I needed to really launch a business. And so going back to school meant that I had to pare down what House of Ananda looked like. And I spoke to a dear friend of mine and another yoga teacher who was working for House of Ananda at the time. And she said to me, House of Ananda exists within you. And even though you're stepping away in this way, it doesn't mean that House of Ananda is dead. It existed before, it exists now, and it will continue to exist. And that eureka moment for me gave me the permission to step away, get the tools that I need, and know that even when you didn't see House of Ananda on social media, even when you weren't seeing our flyers, even when you weren't seeing us hosting in-person meetings and meetups and events and things like that, we were still alive. We were still growing. We were still learning. We were still evolving. And so, yeah, that was a big eureka moment for me.
That is really big. And just having that community and those people in your corner to look out for you is really good. So I love that you share that that gave you that permission. And also speaking, continuing to speak about community, did you learn anything new about the brain-body connection that you apply to your own life while engaging with those in the community whom you serve?
Absolutely. So last fall, I attended a somatic awakening, a retreat in Florida. And what an amazing experience it was to understand my own nervous system, to understand how to map my nervous system, to understand when I'm in a docile state and feeling depressed and withdrawn, to then, you know, understand where I'm in a vagal state and I'm feeling, you know, joy and excitement and things like that. And so definitely understanding my own mind-body connection, understanding my own nervous system has been critical and crucial to the work that I do, so that I am very integrated into the teachings that we do here at House of Ananda. And I learn first, I experience first on myself, and then I work with others in group settings and one-on-one to really embody what it is that we teach in terms of, you know, stress management, nervous system regulation, and burnout prevention.
Yeah. That's great. Like being a living example of what you do. And there's that connection there. I love that. And now I want to shift into some of the lessons and challenges. So Neville, how do you manage time? There's an answer too.
Oh, yeah. So yesterday I was having a bit of a spiral because I had so many tasks to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh my goodness, I need to prep for our interview and I got to do this and I got to do that. And I reached out to a mentor of mine. I was just like, I think I'm spiraling. And even though I know what to do, it's still important to reach out to somebody and to lean in on your community and allow others to pour into you. And, you know, that mentor put things into perspective for me. It was just like, okay, yeah, you got to do this, this, and that. But, you know, tomorrow's your interview, focus on that. That's your next big thing. Make sure you focus on that. And so the ways that I manage time, it changes from moment to moment. Number one, I prioritize my rest. I know that I cannot show up for my company. I can't show up for my family. I can't show up for my job unless I'm rested. And so one of the things that I love to do is work out. And I love to be in the gym. And I love to be active. But with so many things moving in terms of House of Ananda's rollout and relaunch, I've had to pivot how I'm exercising. I can't take, you know, 3 hours to get to the gym to work out and then get back home. And I've had to, you know, make pockets of window for at-home workouts and adjust my mentality as to it's still a workout, even though I did it at home. Mm-hmm. It's still a workout, even though it took me 20 or 15 minutes or maybe 30 minutes as opposed to an hour. And so I manage time by managing my expectations and understanding what is a priority, understanding what's important, understanding what's urgent. And not just for me, I'm also managing my dad's well-being and things for him and, you know, tasks for my job and things for House of Ananda. And so I really try to block my day and give each bucket of, you know, some time. But then there are days where, you know, House of Ananda takes more time, or there are days when my job takes more time. There's days when I shut everything down and say, today's our rest day, and I'm going for a walk.
Yep. Yep. It's like that sometimes. I like how you lay out your time and your days, because it's also knowing that it has to work for you. It's not one size fits all. And what works for somebody else may not work for you. So taking in consideration all the various of variables and also commitments that you have.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You have to.
Yeah. And do you work with a team in your work?
So right now, it's mainly me. I have brought on a board of advisors who are lending their expertise to the strategic vision of House of Ananda. But right now, it's just me. And so it's one of the things that I've struggled with as an entrepreneur is finding a team that buys into the vision, but is also willing to put in that work. And so I've had to rely on a lot of AI resources to help out and to help create things and be more effective with my time. But we are actively building out a team that can really help us to grow, because that's important for skill. It's important to have individuals who can get work done while the CEO or founder is out raising funds or, you know, making partnerships and all these other things. So we're actively in the stages of growing our team.
Yes, that's certainly true. Having that support system, but then also at this moment, having the advisors. And also, may I ask, what are some of your funding sources or how do you deal with funding?
Yeah, so House of Ananda is primarily self-funded and I've poured into the business, but then also through any customers, clients, you know, revenue that way. But we have big revenue goals for this year. And so we'll be applying for some grants. We'll be, you know, bold in applying for some corporate contracts and things of that nature and really trying to really be a revenue generating business.
For sure. Love that. Growth.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we are on the Communitas of New York podcast. So you are a member of Cohort 7 of the Communitas Ventures Accelerator Program. So can you say a little bit about your experience with Communitas America?
Absolutely. How I came to Communitas is so random. I was just at a barbecue for a mentor and a fellow Communitas Ventures alumni happened to be there. But as we were, you know, talking and mingling, I didn't know this individual at the time, but I was telling them about House of Ananda and what we were doing. And then they said to me, hey, you know what? You should really apply for this accelerator. And I mean, I think I had the weekend to apply. It was like 48 hours. The barbecue was maybe happening, I think, on Saturday. And the application was due that Sunday night. And I looked it up and I was just like, oh my God, I don't have any time to do this, but I'm going to try. That's one thing about me. I'm going to try. I don't need to have it all together. I don't need to have all the answers, but I'm going to put my best foot forward. And I did. And I got into the accelerator program. And it was, I think, extremely life-changing for me. Number one, it gave me some tools that I needed to shape House of Ananda and give it some structure. It created this roadmap for the business and created a vision for how I wanted to expand and grow it. But then also what it did was it connected me to other entrepreneurs. Specifically, other social impact entrepreneurs who were also looking at how the ventures that we lead can positively impact the communities that we live in, the communities that we care so deeply about. And many years after participating in Cohort 7 and winning the prize for Cohort 7, I'm still in contact with many of the ventures that were in my cohort, or even ventures like yourself that came after my cohort. And anytime I'm called to show up and I have the capacity to do so, I'm here, because you never know who you're going to meet. And every time I meet another venture, it's like meeting a cousin at a barbecue. Even though we have such very different walks of life and that, we come together and we just lift each other up and we encourage one another and we share resources. It's like, hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? It's an amazing, amazing group. And the name fits it so well. We are a community and we look out for each other. And I'm so happy to be a part of it.
Oh, that is so beautiful. It is so true. It is like a family. So for sure. And speaking of like that connection, so have you engaged in collaborations with other Communitas Ventures alumni, or have you had any mentor experience amongst the community?
Absolutely. So I have many ventures that I've collaborated with and in talks right now with some of the newest cohort members from the past graduating class that are cohort that I'll be collaborating with in this coming year. One of my most prominent ones, I got to give Track Autism a shout out.
Track Autism was founded by Lucas Addo, Communitas Ventures Cohort 8 alumnus. This venture is now known as Track Activities, and you can hear Lucas talk about this and his venture, Elios Behavior Care, on season one of Communitas of New York.
You know, Track came into Communitas because I told them about it. And I continue to support the work that Track does for neurodivergent individuals, and really has been a genesis and my own learning ground and playground for a lot of the modalities that we do here in House of Ananda. So a shout out to all my Communitas Ventures alumni and collaborators.
Love that. And also, one of the things you also mentioned earlier is some of the experiences that you've hosted at the Hale Ground Harlem space. So can you talk more about that and how that came about and what it meant to you and what it looked like, as well as some of the other events you may have attended at Hale Ground Harlem?
Hale Ground Harlem by Communitas America is an incubator space for community-driven entrepreneurs and partners dedicated to innovation and collaboration.
Yeah, so Hayground, I was one of the founding members of Hayground when it was opened.
Yes.
And it really became a hub for me personally to get some work done. It's a place where you can come and work, come and get focused. But then every time I'm in Hayground, again, it's that essence of community where you meet another venture, you're introduced to someone who is doing some brilliant work, you see synergies, you encourage each other, and there's always great snacks and food here at Hayground also. And personally, I've used the space to host several events. I think one of my most prominent events, I used to teach yoga here in Hayground before I had to sort of withdraw from teaching. But I remember in the summer, maybe it was like 23, my memory's a little bit shaky, but I collaborated with a teacher of breathwork, and we rented out the entire main space and did yoga. We started with yoga, and we had aromatherapy going, we had gift bags, we had a step and repeat, and then I taught a yoga class, and then my partner, Elizabeth from Breathe Easy, she taught breathwork, and individuals said it was just like taking a vacation, but at home, but here in New York, and it really inspired me to really create more of these curated spaces where individuals can come in and rest and really experience that downregulation of their nervous system and feeling grounded and calm. And so it's a great space to host myriad of events. I've also attended other events that other ventures have hosted where we're having panel discussions and able to really get some thought leadership going in the space. So I love Hayground. I love the space. It's a very versatile space. I'm actually filming or recording this session right here at Hayground right now.
Yes. Love that. Great use of the space, and it's beautiful. So love that you share your experience there. And then also in reading about your work, I noticed the phrase, speak the truth with integrity and kindness. Can you give some examples of how this statement has come to life in your practice?
Absolutely. That's one of the founding pillars of House of Ananda. And we've since evolved since then, but that remains true to who we are as a company, but who I am also as a leader. It's really important that you speak your truth with integrity and kindness, first and foremost to yourself. As we're now in this lane of burnout and stress and reduction and prevention, one of the things that we talked about earlier is that individuals don't realize that they're stressed, or they don't acknowledge that they're stressed. Or if they do feel stressed, then there's a lot of shame that is felt with being stressed because, you know, society would have us push through and burn out because, you know, a corporation can easily hire another person or what have you. But it's really important to yourself first be true, and that speaking to yourself with integrity and kindness and compassion rings true to all of us, that you must acknowledge where you are, be present in your body and in your mind, and don't shame yourself for human feelings. We weren't meant to work over our capacity. And oftentimes in life, we're constantly being challenged to do so. And so I find that even though our pillars have slightly changed and shifted from that origin statement, it still remains true that, you know, we speak kindly and with truth and integrity to ourselves first, and then, of course, with others.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Taking care of yourself allows you to take care of others.
Absolutely.
And Neville, what does the future hold for you in this year of your relaunch and also beyond?
Our future is bright. House of Ananda will expand beyond my limits. Everything about this year is leading us towards growth and expansion. The communities I already exist in, whether it's Communitas, National Society of Black Engineers, or even my current clients, there's a demand, there's a huge demand for individuals to feel less stressed, and there's a desire for what we do. And so our future looks like a big presence online on LinkedIn. It looks like us traveling across the country to do webinars and retreats. It looks like us being invited into corporate offices to change systemic practices and create spaces where employees can find rest, where they can find structure and learn about burnout and learn about stress management and burnout prevention. And it also looks like advocacy. It looks like think pieces practice and utilizing my master's in public health and the connections that I have at CUNY SPH School of Public Health and Policy to be able to really talk about how stress is affecting the health of individuals and how it's affecting their quality of life from a systems perspective.
Mm-hmm. I have so much faith, and I already know all the things are going to happen. And I'm just excited to see that you are a great representation and also leading by example in shaping how we've been doing things, but also helping us change our habits. And I'm excited about that for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Neville, you've given us a lot. Like, I have some notes over here of so many quotes and so much advice, but I would love it as we wrap up if you could give one short piece of advice to entrepreneurs who are passionate about making an impact in the realms of health and wellness, but who are just starting out. What would you say?
My greatest piece of advice would be to start. Wherever you are, start. Oftentimes, we like to wait until it's 100% perfect, or, you know, we get all these amount of likes, or we've set oftentimes barriers to our progression before we even start. And my advice to any entrepreneur who is interested in creating change and creating a product and living a life of purpose is that you have to start. Put the idea out there. Talk to individuals who can provide resources. Build the first iteration of whatever it is. And it doesn't have to be perfect. When you have something, start to adjust it. Start to edit it down. Start to find your niche. And then niche down some more. And then some more. And some more. And some more. Until you find your chosen people who will take you to higher heights. But it all starts with you taking the courage and being bold enough to do something that only you can do. And even if somebody else has done it, no one else on this earth is you. So the way that you do it will intrinsically resonate with somebody else. And so to all entrepreneurs out there, my encouragement to you is to start where you are. Don't wait for more money. Don't wait for more resources. Don't wait for the perfect plan. Don't wait for, you know, somebody else's validation. Start where you are.
Solid advice. Start and don't wait.
Don't wait.
And Neville, where can people find you, connect with you, and support you?
I encourage everyone to find me on LinkedIn. Go to linkedin.com/Neville, N-E-V-I-L-L-E, Green, G-R-E. And follow House of Ananda, H-A-U-S-O-F-A-N-A-N-D-A. That's House of Ananda, H-A-U-S-O-F-A-N-A-N-D-A. On all social media platforms.
Got it. And we will link the things. So thank you again so much for being on Communitas of New York. And thank you for the work that you do, Neville.
Thank you all. I'm so happy to be here and so grateful to be a part of Communitas.
You're welcome. Visit our website for more information about this and all of our shows. You can find that as well as information about the entrepreneurs and conversation in the show notes. Thank you for listening and see you soon. My name is Monique T. Marshall and this is Communitas of New York. Season 3 is produced by Simone Jean and David Michael D. Gregoria.